I'm thankful this morning for the Jesus we serve. Thank the Lord he's not a figment of our imaginations. He's not a God of wood or stone, metal. But I'm thankful that he's alive and can live within each one of us. Ask for your prayers this morning, the Lord, to bless his word, and know that without the anointing of the Spirit, we don't have anything. I pray that the Lord would bless his word to each one of our hearts and give us the portion that he knows that we have need of, so I know he's able to do. I'd like to begin this morning in the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 13th chapter. I've written on the board the mystery of godliness. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus here speaking the parable of the sower and the seed. I'd like to pick up in the 10th verse of Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I shall heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." They came to Jesus as he had been teaching and speaking to the multitude, and they wondered, "Lord, why is it that you speak to them in parables? You speak to them in stories or in allegories that have another meaning, and it draws a parallel or a comparison. My Lord, why don't you just speak to them directly? Why don't you just tell them exactly what it is that you're trying to say? You're speaking to them in parables, in hidden sayings, in things that it requires an interpretation to be able to understand what it is that you're trying to say. Lord, why is that? What is a mystery?" Jesus said, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." A mystery is not something that's widely known, is it? It's not something that all the pieces are together and it's readily understood or known. It's a mystery. It's something that's hidden. It's something that you have to figure out, or you have to come to the conclusion. You have to put the clues together. I remember as a boy, I enjoyed reading some good mystery books, mystery stories, where as you're going along, you wonder, well, what's going to happen next? Well, how does this fit in over here? And how does this individual play? Well, what is it that they're trying to do? And you don't have all the information at the start, or it's no mystery. But as you're trying to understand and piece it together, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a mystery. The kingdom of heaven is something that's not readily understood by the world around us. The world around will look upon it. They can see the same things that we see. They can hear the same words, but it doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't connect with them. They're not able to get from it what you're able to. Scripture says that the same word was preached unto you as was preached unto them. The same word that's spoken, the same scriptures that are used, but it didn't profit them. Not being mixed with faith, and then they hear that. So it lets us know that people can sit under the sound of the gospel. Two individuals can hear the same message going forth. One of them will be blessed and fed in their soul and say, "Oh, that was rich. That blessed my soul. That helped me." And the other one will walk away scratching his head and saying, "That didn't make a lick of sense. I didn't get a thing out of that." From the very same word, the very same message, we're given a likeness of that whenever the children of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt and they were brought before the Red Sea. Whenever Pharaoh's army came hot on their trail and they were closing in, and the presence of the Lord came in between them in the form of a cloud. And it said that cloud was to the children of Israel a bright light. But the very same cloud was to those on the other side of it. It was darkness of night. They couldn't see because of it. You know, it's the way the Word is. It's the way our Lord and Master Jesus Christ is. To those of us that believe He is precious. But to those that don't choose to believe, because of hardness of heart, because there are some things that Scripture talks about in the third chapter of John, because their deeds were evil, they loved darkness rather than light. Because they didn't have a love for the truth, Jesus Himself became a stone of stumbling. You know, we live in a world today, we use that phrase fairly often. It's not necessarily something new. People have always scoffed at and mocked and ridiculed and wondered at the ways of God. But we live in a world today where there are many who even will claim the name of Christ, will take on the cloak of religion, and yet have so many different ideas and opinions and thoughts and doctrines and teachings. Lord, help us to be able to understand the mysteries, to be able to have a heart that desires to know and understand the truth. Because we can sit under the sound of the gospel all of our lives. We can sit under the sound of it, and we can even know just about what the preacher's going to say. We can know the Bible stories, and it's so important for us to do that. But there's more to it than that. Even those of us who would come and gather in an assembly like this, we must have a heart that has a love for the truth. Lord, I want to know and I want to understand Your ways more clearly, more perfectly. So why was it that Jesus said, if you read the Scriptures, it almost sounds like, "I want to withhold it from them." Going to withhold so that, or lest, they be able to see with their eyes and hear with their ears. You know, it's not God's will that any should perish. It's not His will. It wasn't His will that Cain should be rejected from the favor of God. God told Cain, "If you do well, will you not also be accepted? I give you the same opportunity, the same word, but you've got a decision that you have to make." And you know, throughout time, it's always come down to my decision. It's come down to the condition of my heart and of yours. What am I going to do with God? What am I going to do with His dealings and His workings? We can sit under the sound of the gospel. We can be raised in a Christian, godly home. And yet our heart be hardened and turned away from it. And it'll not penetrate down. It'll not work in our hearts while the Lord is trying to accomplish with it. So it says a mystery of godliness. If I were to tell you, because people seem like always want to know what's the secret ingredient? What's the secret to losing weight? What's the secret to getting rich? What's the secret to this and to that? In other words, I don't want to go about it by hard work. Tell me the secret that I can be able to get there. If I could tell you today that there's a secret to being able to make heaven your home, and I'm going to give you that secret. Now bear with my crude illustration. That's the secret. The secret to making heaven. Well, I've written on the board 4 boxes and numbers in the boxes. 7142. That's the secret to making heaven. Now bear with me as I try to use a crude illustration here. If I tell you that, that holds the code. It holds the answer to how you can be successful in your life. You know, you're sitting there probably looking at that and saying, that makes no sense to me. That doesn't make any sense. What am I supposed to do with that? I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how to turn that into something in my life that I can act on or that I can do something with. How's that supposed to help me any? You know, it's the way that it is with the word of the Lord. People will hear it. They'll hear the gospel preached and say, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. The ways of God are a mystery to mankind. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Try to abbreviate some of this. Paul said whenever he was coming into the Corinthians, he said, I'm not coming with my own abilities and my own power and the excellency of my speech. That's not what I'm coming to offer to you. He said that your faith, verse 5, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This is contrasting two wisdoms. We read in James also about a wisdom that cometh from above and a wisdom that is below. There's a contrast. There's a difference. There are wise men in our world who will consider themselves wise by whatever means or measure. I've got a degree. I've got some acronyms behind my name that say I have some authority in what I'm speaking about, that I have some wisdom and understanding. But you know the wisdom that the wise men in Nebuchadnezzar's day had? It was nothing before the oracles of God. It did nothing for them. Whenever God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream by night, and Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord, was revealing wonderful things about the kingdom of heaven. Revealing that, giving the dream to Nebuchadnezzar of the kingdoms that would follow and eventually the kingdom of heaven that would be set up and fill the earth. It made no sense to Nebuchadnezzar. What's more, he couldn't even remember it the next day. What does this dream mean? It troubles me. I know there's something to it. I know there's a meaning to it, but I just can't get there. I just can't connect the dots. I can't get it to make sense. And now I can't even remember it. Call the wise men. They've got wisdom. They've got learning. The astrologers, they know the signs of the stars and what that means to us. And how that's supposed to guide our lives and give us understanding and all of those things that they practiced and that they believed in and put their faith in. But whenever it came to the things of God, their wisdom was nothing. Whenever it came to understanding the things of God, it didn't get them anywhere. And you know, we can get and we can accumulate the wisdom of this world. We can accumulate learning and knowledge and understanding. We read about in the book of Acts the Athenians. Those in Athens that Paul went to reason with, and it said they spent their time doing nothing else but to hear and to tell of some new thing. They were all about getting more learning and more knowledge. But the knowledge of this world doesn't help us when it comes to eternal things. For there's a great difference. The wisdom of heaven, the wisdom that comes of the kingdom of heaven, is not revealed through the schools of man. It is not revealed through the man's learning, a man's ability, a man's intelligence that's able to decipher the things of God. That's not the way that we acquire this understanding. It wasn't the schools of astrology and magic that they attended. It was a man that feared God who went and got down on his knees before God and said, "Lord, I don't understand these mysteries. I don't understand what this means, Lord. I don't even know what the dream was. But Lord, there is a God that lives in heaven, and He reveals the secret of men's hearts." What he told Nebuchadnezzar. So he went and he fell on his face. "Oh God, would you reveal unto me? My life's on the line." And folks, our lives are on the line. It is critical for us to have a spiritual understanding and discernment that this world around us isn't going to be able to impart to us. They're not going to, and it's not to just knock the wisdom of the world. There are ways that it can help us of in day-to-day life, of how you build a house, and whatever those things of natural means are. But when it comes to the things of God, it's not going to benefit us. But whenever a man who feared God fell upon his face and said, "Lord, would you reveal it to me?" God opened to his understanding the mysteries and the oracles of God. And you know he's still able to do that today. In the midst of a world that's shaking their head and saying, "It doesn't make a lick of sense. I don't understand it. I don't know what this means. I don't know how to put all this together." Oh Lord, Lord God that dwells in heaven, would you reveal unto me, Lord, this scripture here, this passage, Lord, this doctrine that I'm being bombarded with or faced with, Lord, would you reveal this to my heart? You know, the Lord's still able to do that today. So it is not through the schools of men's learning that we get the understanding. In summary, it is through a revelation of God. It's what Jesus told Peter. "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed that unto you." For us to be able to understand the mysteries, it's going to require a revelation from God. Read about, perhaps you've heard of them, the Navajo code talkers. World War II, whenever it was paramount to the success of military operations to be able to communicate from one front of the battle back to Washington, D.C., or back to the commander, or whoever it was, of what's going on the front lines, that's information the enemy would love to be able to get a hold of and thwart your attack and your strategy. It was of paramount importance for them to be able to communicate in a way that the enemy couldn't understand. So they would develop codes that they would talk to one another. And many times, the enemy would be able eventually to decode that code, would be able to break it, would be able to finally understand, here's this means that, and that means this, and put it together, and now we figured out the mystery. But the Navajo language was one that they were never able to break, to my understanding. We're never able to really decipher what does this mean. They would hear the transmission, they would hear the verbal utterance of it, but it meant nothing to them. They couldn't make any sense of it. And you know, so it is with us in a natural sense. We can hear the gospel message preached, and I hear the words that are spoken. I understand the English. I understand how the words fit together. But when it comes to my spirit, I can't make sense of it. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to apply this in my life. I can't connect the dots here. Thank the Lord that He's able to reveal unto us. He told the disciples, "It's given unto you to understand the mysteries." The Lord wants to reveal Himself unto every one of us. The Lord isn't speaking in dark sayings that are impossible to understand. The Lord told His people in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Let's turn maybe and pick this up quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 30, the 11th verse. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. That's the Lord's will. And He was telling him here, the things that I've given you, the things that I've expounded unto you, it's not something that's far off and impossible or out of your reach. You know, throughout the history of Christianity, there have been many movements and denominations and religious systems that have risen up that have said, you, the common people, are not able to understand the mysteries of God. It's not given unto you to understand the deep things of God. You're not able to receive it. You've got to come to us as the exalted ministry or the priest or whatever it is, and we'll give to you what you need to know. We'll explain it to you because we're the only ones that are able to get an understanding. That's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture tells us, rather, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, speaking and thinking about this morning, the mystery of God that's hidden to this world. Hebrews, the 8th chapter and 11th verse says, speaking of the new covenant, the dispensation that we're under, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Thank the Lord that there's not an IQ test, there's not an exam to be able to demonstrate a certain intelligence or a certain degree of learning, or if I got a DD after the end of my name or whatever it is, then I can understand the mysteries of God. But it is given unto us, the blood-washed, born-again children of God, given to us for the mysteries to be revealed that have long been hidden from the ages gone past, that our fathers have looked into and desired to know more about and have by faith looked ahead to it, yet today it is given to us to understand these things of God, to be able to have an understanding, whoever we might be, whatever our background is, whatever our level of education is, it matters not. But what the condition of our heart is, if I come before the Lord with sincerity, with honesty, Lord, I long to know your precepts. I want to understand, Lord. Teach me from your word. Oh, thank the Lord, He desires to reveal unto us, to unfold to us the mysteries of God. There have been others in the history of the Christian church who have risen up and said, we have a special revelation. I got a special vision from the Lord. Or Jesus came and revealed himself personally to me. Joseph Smith, others throughout time. There was a group of people who were loosely joined together, loose affiliation of their beliefs, generally though, kind of all ran along the same line. They were called the Gnostics, Gnosticism. And these individuals would claim to have a special revelation from God. There's nothing wrong with a revelation from God. It's important for us, everyone, to get a revelation from God for ourselves. But there's something that supersedes my personal experience. There's something that's higher than your testimony. Understand what I'm saying by this. There's something more important, or that takes precedence, that or preeminence. If I were to come and say, well, I got a dream last night, and God said to me that holiness is not, if I were to say, holiness is not required. The Lord revealed it to me. The Lord showed it to me in a dream. And if I were to come and try to to lead you in that direction. There's something that takes preeminence over that. It is the Word of God over any of our experiences. Well, the Lord showed me this. The Lord showed me that. You know, the Lord is blamed for a whole lot of things that are not in accordance with His Word. It's the Lord's desire to reveal His Word unto us. And He will not lead in a direction contrary or conflicting with His written Word. Lord, give us understanding of it. Lord, help us to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. To be able to know what You're saying in the Word. It's our lifeline. To be able to spiritually discern. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Pick up again in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. The things of God are not able to be revealed to carnal man. Not able to be revealed to man in his natural state. So Jesus told Nicodemus, as we heard this morning in Sunday school, except a man be born again, he's not able to see the kingdom of heaven. There's a spiritual birth. There's a code here that you're not able to understand unless you be born again. And then you're able to understand. The eyes of your understanding, Paul said, being enlightened, that you may be able to know, may be able to understand the things that God has prepared for them to love Him. So the Gnostics, those who claimed a special understanding, they would rise up and say that, kind of portraying the same idea, we're of a special class or a special spiritual level and we have this understanding and this is in addition to Scripture. They would still claim and hold on to the general idea of Christ being the Redeemer, but they would spin off on different tangents and they would add on to and they would adapt and create their own form of religion based on what they claim to be a special understanding. And so many people throughout time have done, and still do yet today, have got a special understanding of Scripture or of what this Scripture means. There's a principle called the unanimity of Scripture that says Scripture will not contradict itself. It's not, if you look at Scripture and you read and you conclude from a Scripture, if a man say that he have no sin, then the truth doesn't abide in him. And I say, that's good enough for me. We're all sinners. And I go and I see throughout the tenor of the Word of God, I see the many other Scriptures that conflict with that. Then I can know I have an incorrect interpretation. I can know I'm not understanding it correctly because it's all in harmony. But it's not in man to be able to understand the things of God. It requires the Spirit of God to reveal them unto us. As we're searching the Scriptures, studying the Word of God, it requires both witnesses, the Word and the Spirit. We are to worship the Lord in what? In spirit and in truth. It requires the Spirit to have an understanding of truth, to be able to rightly divide, to be able to know what's an analogy or what's spiritual language and what's literal in the Scripture. Oh, Lord, give us discernment. Lord, give us understanding to know the mysteries that are given to us as His children. Not given unto the world. It said you've hidden them, the 11th chapter of Matthew. You've hidden them from the wise and the prudent. Those who call themselves wise in this world, they're not able to receive it and understand it. The things of God, as I mentioned earlier, have always been peculiar to the world. The workings and the ways of God have been strange. And God's people, by extension, a peculiar and a strange people. Should we think it any different today? Should we expect anything different in our world today than that the world's going to look at us as strange? The world's going to look at us and say, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense. Look at the way Christ came into this world. You know that didn't make sense to the wise and the prudent of his day? Why would the Messiah be born in a place like that? Why would he not be born in the palace? Why would the angels not have come and revealed it to us as the special anointed ones? Why wouldn't he have come and, this can't be. This isn't what we expected. But it comported perfectly with who God is and his workings that's hidden from man. Mankind looks at it and says, it's important for me to be important. It's important for people to recognize that I'm spiritual. It's important for me to have the uppermost rooms. And Jesus comes along saying, if you want to be great in the kingdom, be like these little children that you're trying to run off. If you want to be important, if you want to have a seat by me in the kingdom as you're requesting, you're going about it all the wrong way. Be small. Humble yourself to be made great. Die to live again. That doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It defies man's logic. Well, why, Jesus, would you have to go to the cross? And I want us this morning to realize that this world is going to look on the way of God as strange. Jesus said, because you're not of this world, therefore the world is going to hate you. If we're not of this world, as Jesus said, the world would love their own. But if we aspire to not be part of this world, as I hope is every one of our desire, I don't want to be part of this world upon which the judgment of God's going to fall. I want to be separate from this world, that I can expect and know that I'm going to be strange. That the ways I follow of God, the world is going to look on. And knowing, as we've said, what it requires to have a true understanding of Scripture is about more than signing a membership book of a church, about more than going through the doors of a church. It's about more than being a worship leader or a preacher by profession or by title. It requires a spiritual revelation, and it tells me and lets me to know that in our time, we can expect that even many people who name the name of Christ will also look on us and say, you're weird. Say, that's not required. We'll say, I'm also a Christian, and I don't have to do that. The Gnostics of some sects of them would spin off and say, well, the body is separate from the soul, and so it's the soul that matters. And you can do whatever you want in the body. You know, there are people who teach the same kind of things. It's not the outward things that matter. It's not the things you do in the... It's just the Lord knows my heart. Lord, help us to have an understanding and a proper discernment of the Word of God. As we heard last Sunday, the message that was brought, we're going to have a desire for the truth. I'm going to have to want to know the truth. It's not going to be enough for me to say, well, I've always heard this. Well, I just take it for face value. This is the way it is. I just assume, as many people do, I just assume I'm okay. It's going to require, Lord, I want to know the truth. Lord, I want to know what your word teaches. I want to know what you require of me on this line. Lord, reveal it unto me. The Lord has a way of revealing unto us if we're of a heart to receive it. If we'll seek for it. The word is nigh unto us. It's not afar off. It's not something that we've got to go to someone who is the learned or who has achieved a certain rank and say, can you tell me what this means? It's not to negate the importance of our brethren and sisters and being able to encourage one another and be able to teach and impart of the Word of God. But it comes down to every one of us having an understanding within our hearts. Otherwise, we can all sit and hear the Word of God taught, and it's not connecting. But whenever we begin to seek the Lord, whenever we're filled with the Spirit, do you remember even the disciples, Jesus said, there are things that I want to tell you that you're not able to receive now. I can't impart it to you yet because you're not able to receive it. But when I go back and I send the Spirit of truth unto you, He'll reveal all these things unto you. And those things that I looked at before and I said, that doesn't make any sense. I begin to search it a little more and I find out that 1 equals an O. And I said, okay, that's an O. And then I find out that a 2 is an E. That's an E. And then I search and the Lord begins revealing to me that 7 is an L and a 4 is a V. And then what I looked at before and I said, 7142 doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get anything from that. I don't know how you do anything with that. As the Lord begins to reveal and give us understanding, the Spirit of God revealing the things which are of God. I hope you can understand by the crude illustration. Once you receive the decoder, once it's revealed unto you, just like if the enemy had been given the decode of the Navajo language, then they could have taken everything that came in and filtered it by that and understood it. But until it's revealed unto you, you're looking at it and it's just numbers that don't add up and don't mean a thing. But when the Spirit of God reveals to us the things that are of God, I begin to find out, as Paul said, it's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision that availeth, but it's faith that worketh by love. And I begin to understand then things that I didn't understand before. Things that maybe I have heard all my life and grown up in a saint's home and grown up coming to church and I've heard it and I can even maybe recite it to you. But down in my heart, it still hasn't clicked. Down in my heart, I still haven't been able to really receive a revelation. I still can't put it all together. The Lord wants to come along and give us a decoder, that we can be spiritually minded and filled with the Spirit of God, that He can reveal unto us those things that I look at it and I said before, that's foolishness. The wisdom of God is foolishness with the world, if you read further down here. The things that the world says are, that's in the first chapter. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. The things of God are foolishness to this world. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. You know what the preaching of the cross represents? A death. It represents some suffering. It represents dying out to sin. Dying out to ourselves. Suffering. You know it's foolishness of the world? The world says, why would you ever suffer? You don't need to suffer anymore. We're in a technologically advanced age. There's something for that. Why would you have to suffer? Why would you trust the Lord for anything in your life? You don't have to do that anymore. We're not in the dark ages anymore. There's science for that now. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense why you would sit at home suffering in your body, And you're going to go call the ministers to come put some oil on your head. Well, science can look on that and say that oil doesn't do anything. It'll moisten your skin, go into your pores a little bit. It's not going to do a thing for that problem that you have. It's foolishness. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. But you know, the Lord wants to begin to reveal some things to us that are foolishness to the world, that I begin to see it works by love. Love's the secret ingredient. Love is the thing that I was missing before, that when I heard the things taught, I heard the word preached, it didn't make sense because my heart wasn't in it. I didn't love it with all my heart. I didn't love the Lord with all my heart. But whenever I love the Lord enough, there's trust that comes with love. There comes with that a saying, Lord, You know best for my life. Lord, I want to go to heaven. Lord, I know that You'll work only what You see as best. Lord, I know Your word and I know that You're able. Lord, I commit myself into Your hands. And things that otherwise would not make sense, whenever revealed by the Spirit of God, whenever motivated by love, they begin to connect together. You know, we can be in a place in our life clouded by confusion, by doubts, where I've heard things taught and I kind of have a vague image of what it's showing, but I'm seeing through a veil, not able to see it very clearly. You know, the Lord wants to clear some things up in our minds. Things that maybe we've struggled and wrestled with and I don't understand. And you know, there are, if I can say it this way, a couple kinds of people, kinds of hearts. There's one that says, I don't understand it, so I'm not doing it. There's another that says, I don't understand it and I don't really care to understand it. Don't really want to put the effort into understanding. And there's a heart that says, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, that which I see not, reveal thou unto me. Lord, would You help me to see it? I don't see this very clearly. As we go back and look at what Jesus was saying of the parables, He wasn't just trying to confuse people. He was honoring man's will. If man is saying, I don't really want to hear what You have to say, He'll grant that to you. You'll be able to hear it, but you're not going to understand a thing He's saying. But to those whose heart is yearning for truth and understanding, that very parable is that which reveals to me. Lord, I understand it now. It makes sense to me now. You know, as we draw closer to the Lord, there are some things that maybe in the past of my life were kind of blurry. Didn't understand real well. But you know, as we draw closer and closer to the Lord, there are some things that begin to get clearer and clearer. If you've ever been to the eye doctor and seen an eye chart on the wall, you start out with the biggest letters and you go down and see how far you can read. There's some stuff that gets small enough you might say, I need to get closer to be able to see it. You know, there are some things about the principles of God. Folks, how deep do we want to go? How far down the chart are we willing to stop and say that's good enough? I can see the E on the top or whatever it is. I can see the biggest letter. It's good enough for me. Or do I say, you know what? There's some writing down below that. I want to be able to see it. You know how you can do it? I know on those eye charts, you're supposed to be able to see it from the line. You know, we can get up closer. And the Lord invites us. My child, if you can't see it, if all you can see is just blurry letters and figures that kind of resemble something, but you can't really make sense of it. What's that song say? Closer, my child, to me. Come closer. Child, come here. You're not going to be able to see it from way back there. You're not going to be able to understand it following me afar off. Come up closer. And as we get closer, some of those things that were blurry begin to clear up in our minds, begin to make sense. Thank the Lord today for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank the Lord that it's not something that's impossible to understand, requires years and years of learning and education, but the Lord can reveal and teach to us His ways, His Word, and all the joy that comes with it. Oh, the blessing of His Word being revealed unto us and following in that. The Lord desires to reveal unto every one of us the mysteries. Are you looking at the Word of God today in code? Are you looking at and listening to the messages and the teachings of the Word of God and seeing a bunch of letters that just don't make sense? A bunch of numbers that just don't add up to anything? You know the Lord wants to reveal the mystery to us. There is a language of heaven that this world doesn't understand. And the Lord wants us to impart it and to teach it and to live it and to show it. But the bottom line is, until a heart's been regenerated, been born again, until a soul is walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh, they're not going to understand. This world, we can look at it and say, it makes sense. Why not do? The things that it makes sense. I know you probably had similar instances where we get into conversations with neighbors or coworkers and say, why do you do that? Does your church make you do that? Does your church make you dress that way? No. That's such a foreign idea to me. We don't do things because the church makes us do things, thank the Lord. Let me show you a decoder. That'll turn letters into a word that spells love. Let me tell you what love will do for you when you love the Lord with all your heart. Let me tell you how that'll change your desires. You won't even want to go there anymore. Because you're going to say, I don't have time to waste with that. I don't need to go drinking that this evening. I found a fountain that never runs dry. And it does something to my heart. There's something working within. There's something inwardly. That now it all makes sense. Now there's something that whenever I hear the Word of God, it does something for the inward man. The mysteries of godliness, the mysteries of His ways will remain a mystery to this world. But the Lord desires to reveal it unto everyone that'll reach out with an honest heart. And I say for those of us that are here today, Lord, help us that we'd have a heart that reaches out. Lord, I want to understand the mysteries of God. You know, no matter where we are on our walk with the Lord, there's more to the mystery. I can remember back to the time when I was a child, reading a Hardy Boy book or something, and you get to the end of the chapter, and that's always when they got bumped on the head. End of the chapter, and about time I know I need to get to bed, and oh, but I can't stop here. I got to find out what happens to him. I got to figure out how this all fits together. I got to keep going. You know, the mysteries of God are to be like that to those of us who have tasted of it. That there's something that says, you know what? There's more to it. I've got to see how this all fits together. Lord, I want to know more. I want to understand more of the mysteries of God. It's the Lord's plan. And it's the Lord's desires drawing us along. Wanting to show every one of us, come a little deeper. I've got something else to show you of the mystery. You pray for me. Amen.